Strange News Daily is a production of iHeartMedia.
In a world full of bizarre events, unsolved mysteries, and a billion stories from all corners of the globe, some news gets lost in the shuffle. This is your gateway to the stories on the fringe of the mainstream map. These are your dispatches in the dark. I'm Ben Bolin, and this is the Strange News Daily. Our first story today takes us to the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, also known as North Korea, where a mystery is afoot. It seems Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un is suspected to be in grave danger following a secret cardiovascular surgery on April 12th. Kim recently missed the celebration of his grandfather Kim Il-sung's birthday on April 15th. His absence from this incredibly important event sets off alarm bells in intelligence communities across the planet, especially when coupled with his earlier move to bestow many day-to-day duties upon his sister, Kim Yo-jong. Kim was last seen at a government meeting 4 days before the celebration. The anniversary of his grandfather's death is by far the most important holiday in the nation, where the Kim family is regarded as something very close to gods. Yesterday, U.S. government officials said the concerns about Kim Jong-un's health are credible, but it's difficult to accurately assess the severity of his condition. Getting accurate information about North Korea, also known as the Hermit Kingdom, has been notoriously difficult for outsiders. The country tightly controls any information about Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un. His absences from official state media often spark speculation and rumors about his health. North Korea has no real free press, and it's often a black hole when it comes to information about the country's leadership. Analysts are often reliant on scanning official state media dispatches and watching propaganda videos for anything resembling a clue. South Korea's presidential Blue House said in a statement provided to reporters that they have nothing to confirm reports about Kim's health and that, furthermore, no unusual signs have been detected inside North Korea. Daily NK, an online newspaper based in South Korea that focuses on North Korea, reported that Kim received a cardiovascular system procedure on April 12th, due primarily to his, quote, excessive smoking, obesity, and overwork. And according to this site, he is now receiving treatment in a villa in Hyangsan County following his procedure. After assessing that his condition had improved, most of the medical team treating the leader returned to the capital of North Korea on April 19th, and only some of them remained to oversee his recovery situation. However, at this point, it's important to note these reports are largely rumor and speculation. Both China and South Korea have downplayed the idea that Kim is seriously ill. South Korea's Yonhap news agency quoted an unnamed government official saying that reports about Kim being seriously ill were not true. And an official at the Chinese Communist Party's International Liaison Department, which deals with North Korea, told Reuters there was no compelling reason to believe Kim Jong-un was critically ill. Additionally, this would not be the first time that the international community got things wrong. Bruce Klinger, a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation and a former CIA deputy division chief for North Korea, notes that over the years, there have been a number of false health rumors about Kim Jong-un or his father. Some observers speculated that Kim had been limiting his public appearances this month as a precaution against the growing coronavirus pandemic. North Korea, by the way, continues to insist that it has not discovered a single case of COVID-19, although experts and defectors both have challenged those claims. Our second story takes us to India, or that's where it begins. You see, that's where the Singh family welcomed their newborn son, who they've named Sanitizer. Omvir Singh, the father, told the Deccan Herald that his family wanted to somehow make a contribution in the fight against the coronavirus pandemic, saying, quote, "Everyone is fighting against this virus, from our prime minister to ordinary people. Our son is our contribution." Sanitizer, he continued, is one of the best ways to protect oneself against contracting coronavirus infection. We will remember this period of lockdown whenever we utter his name. While Sanitizer may seem like an extreme name choice, he's far from the only child with a name inspired by the pandemic. Another Indian couple has given birth to twins during this pandemic, and they have chosen the names COVID for their baby boy and Corona for their baby girl. Speaking to the Press Trust of India, Preeti Verma said, quote, "There's a lot of apprehension nowadays regarding COVID-19. We wish to ease the anxiety and fear associated with these words and also to make the occasion memorable. So I and my husband took an instant decision to name our twins COVID and Corona." Another baby boy, born in Uttar Pradesh in India, has been given the name Lockdown. And the father of Lockdown said, quote, "We appreciate Prime Minister Narendra Modi's efforts to enforce lockdown and save the people from the corona pandemic. The lockdown is in national interest, so we decided to name the child as Lockdown." Over in the Philippines, a Twitter user uploaded a photo of a newborn girl's birth certificate proving her name is legally COVID Rose. While some people may be tempted to laugh at the topical, somewhat on-the-nose names here, it's important to remember that these are real people, and often their parents are sincerely attempting to glean something positive from this uncomfortable global situation. So, kids, if you're hearing this, welcome to Earth. Things are a little weird right now, but we're all glad you're here. Our third story for today takes us to a fascinating little Facebook experiment. According to a report recently released in the American Economic Review, quitting Facebook for as little as 4 weeks can bring noticeable positive changes in a user's attitude, opinion, and subjective perceptions of well-being. Now, the scientists here didn't test everyone on Facebook. That would be nearly impossible. Facebook has well over 2 billion active monthly users. As recently as 2016, the average Facebook user was spending around 50 minutes per day between Facebook, Instagram, and Facebook Messenger. In this study, The Welfare Effects of Social Media, Hunt Alcott and co-authors note, quote, "There may be no technology since television that has so dramatically reshaped the way people get information and spend their time." So, what happens when you decide not to play the social media game? A randomized group of Facebook users were offered $102 to voluntarily deactivate their accounts for 4 weeks. Here's what happened. The treatment group found that they spent more time socializing offline, contacting friends, loved ones, and so on. They also became less politically polarized, and they reported subjective well-being relative to the control group. They also reported, on average, that they'd freed up an extra 60 minutes each day. They also spent more time watching TV and participating in other offline activities, such as hobbies. This wasn't all good news, however. You see, the treatment group also became significantly less knowledgeable about current events. While this is something many former Facebook users have experienced in their own lives, this study and other lines of related research confirm multiple users have experienced similar effects. Yet, after that 4-week period, the treatment group still hopped back on Facebook, and they spent substantial amounts of time there. In fact, they'd only agreed to permanently quit the platform for a large amount of money. In the study, the authors note that both the benefits and downsides of Facebook are real, and that these downsides track with the frequency of time spent on Facebook. I like the way the study ends. It notes that, like everything from novels to TV to nuclear energy, these new technologies seem to have similar trajectories. Social media itself is a new technology, no matter how normal or commonplace it may feel nowadays. And we need to conduct serious research to understand the ways in which this innovation affects humanity, both as individual people and as larger groups. That's all for now. We've been asking you to chime in with your suggestions for stories you think your fellow listeners should know about, your bad dad jokes, or your personal experiences with COVID-19. Let us know by reaching out on Twitter and tagging #StrangeDaily. And while you're online, you can also find me directly. I'm at Ben Bolin HSW on Twitter or at Ben Bolin on Instagram. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Dylan Fagan, our research associate, Sam Teagarden, and thanks to you. I'm Ben Bolin. We'll see you tomorrow. And until then, stay strange.